Steve.
Okay, 80s memories. Worked on the trawler, as you know.
Yeah.
I would sleep till lunchtime, and I'd get up, my mum would make me my lunch, and we would sit together, right? And this was so regular, and watch this.
Welcome to Midday Australia. Today, a Hollywood star whose dancing gyrations set the screen ablaze. Join us live for John Travolta. Also, highly nervous, madcap expectant father Doug Mulray, brilliant British ventriloquist Neville King, plus Bev Gledhill and top Irish vocal trio Barleycorn. And now, please welcome your host, Ray Martin.
Oh.
Can you? That brings back wonderful memories. I'd forgotten the stuff we used to pack into Midday.
Oh, that totally sounds like a week's worth of shows there, Ray.
I always like it, Ray, when you hear all those guests, but to me the winner was the ventriloquist.
That's right. Yeah, Steve, it's funny you talked about looking with your mum. I still go to the football now, you know. There'll be some bloke of 35 who'll sort of be having a beer and say, hang on, we used to watch the show with Mum, and
yep.
Mum used to stick sandwiches in our mouth and say, shut up, I'm watching Midday.
Absolutely.
And I'd say, not my fault.
Yep, followed by a cup of tea at the end.
Yeah. So, Ray, because it is our 80s show today, we wanted to get you on, obviously. We sat around going, who is the most iconic Australian of the 80s? Ray Martin won hands down.
Yep.
So for you, though, living through the 80s, as high profile as you were, what is the standout for you as far as the decade of the 80s? If Ray Martin's trying to conjure up his biggest memory, what is it?
I guess it would be, Midday was obviously a powerful element, but we also started 60 Minutes in 79, so the 80s is when we sort of got underway. The first couple of shows, they had people saying, well, this won't last. and within about less than a year, we were the number one program in the country. But probably the single event would have been Lindy Chamberlain.
Yeah.
I think, that was maybe 83, and I got the first interview with Lindy when she came out of jail, and she'd been in jail for a year and a half, you know, charged with having killed the baby Azaria that was taken by a dingo, as it turned out. But nevertheless, that was an event that probably the biggest event in Australia after Gough Whitlam's dismissal, and that was in the 80s. And that was extraordinary that everybody had an opinion about whether she was guilty or innocent, even though they had no information.
Interesting, a different world we live in, Ray. If that exact story happened with social media, I'm not saying how different it would be, but how bigger it even would have been.
Yes, indeed. And what's more, the opinions would have been even stronger.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even for someone in television, you'd get your brickbats, the pluses and minuses of in those days on newspapers and maybe radio, but the social attacks that people on television and radio get today are just extraordinary. And Lindy was fair game. I think everybody gave the most personal, vituperative, angry, careless comments about Lindy and Michael Chamberlain then, and it's only because she's such a wonderful, powerful woman that she was able to withstand that. I don't think most people would have been able to cop being accused of, having killed their baby daughter, which is what she had to put up with and survive. But you're right. I mean, I think social media would have probably destroyed her.
Mm.
As far as when we look back at the 80s, the one thing that we attach to the decade is the decade of excess and greed. I mean, you were in television. You were at the highest echelons of that. You're the most well-known Australian media personality. Did you see those excesses firsthand? And can you recount maybe being taken to lunch and, $1,000 bottles of wine being opened? Did you see it, Ray?
Yeah, very much so. And it was, if you like, we like to call it the golden age of television. Mm. But in fact, it was, we did, in 1988, we did the bicentenary telecast at 9. And that was one in which we, Clive James came out from Britain, and he came out first class. And I can only guess how much he would have been paid. But Clive and Jana Vent and I were the hosts for that bicentenary telecast. And that was about 4 hours of television live. And we went to a Russian satellite and spoke to the Russian astronauts in the satellite. We spoke to some Americans in a submarine under the ocean. We spoke, Dick Smith was in a helicopter above Uluru, the rock. And I think, we had Brian Deary on a train heading out to Perth. And then we spoke to Australian scientists down the South Pole. So all those things, for satellites were incredibly expensive. And the overall cost of the program would have been, bigger than anything television done in Australia. And yet there was no hesitation. It was just 4 hours of this, bicentenary celebration. So it was there. The excess was There was nothing in those days that you couldn't do on television as long as you get a rating. There was nothing that the networks wouldn't pay for. And that was, and if Nine did it, of course, Seven had to do the same. And so it was an era that I think today's television producers could only dream about.
It's also, though, too, Ray, you were going for the product, and yes, it did cost, but now it's saving money or making money sometimes to the product's loss.
Yeah, but well, as you said, like you and your mother watching the Midday Show, we had audiences of 1.5 million people watching at lunchtime.
Mm.
Now, if you got 1.5 million today, that would be a major, probably win you the night most nights of the week in Australia, most nights. And we were getting that every day and 5 days a week. At night during a car affair would have, on a big night, would have 4 million Australians watching. Now, you know, certainly twice as much as the highest, let's say the football grand final, as the highest rating program in Australia. Well, every night, a current affair with, in the Arnis days, in my days, we'd get between 3 and 4 million people. So television without pay television dominated our lives. Mm. And so the end result was that, you know, they were getting, obviously the packs of this world were getting a huge amount of money, and the end result was that you had huge budgets to do programs.
To be fair, we're still pulling those figures here, right, with our show.
Of course you are. Of course. I thought of you the moment I said that. I thought, well, you know, comparable if you can.
Right. Lovely reminiscing with you. Before we do let you go, though, At Home Alone Together, you haven't seen this. You've got to see it. Wednesday nights are on the ABC, 9 o'clock. Tell people how did they get you involved in this?
Well, it shows how weird we are in this lifestyle of lockdown with the coronavirus. They rang me, ABC rang me and said, I've done a few things for The Chaser and a few other things at SBS in their comedy spots, and I quite liked, you know, being Ray Martin and being straight in a comedy situation.
Yeah.
Was reasonably amusing. And so they said, we've got this new show starting and, you know, we'd love you to host it. And I looked at some of the people involved, and my son and daughter, who are in their early 30s, both said, they're very funny, you should do it, Dad. And I thought, as long as I don't have to be funny, that's all right. And so the joy is that I'm working with people half my age, and they're all bright and funny and sparkling, and it's terrific. I love working with them. So it's they're having a go as the ABC, as the only station that does this. There's a shortage of comedy, and so we're having fun. We've had 3 weeks. We've got 5 weeks to go. Oh.
And your daughter's, you know, well documented as thinking, you know, your dad jokes are the best.
Yes, I'm sure, Steve. In fact, you know, from both Luke and Jenna, my children, or our children, they've long said, don't sing, don't dance. and now they say, don't think you're funny.
All right. It's always so lovely talking with you.
It is such a pleasure.
Please tune in At Home Alone Together. It's fabulous stuff.
And don't forget today, 12, the Midday Show.
Yeah, wish it was.
I wish it was too. But have a great day.
Thanks, Ray.
Thanks, guys, very much. Lovely to talk to you.
Thank you so much, Ray, for your time. We know it's precious and we really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Pleasure, mate. Anytime.
Good on you, Ray.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
I reckon, just have a look at your rundown. I reckon
we've wasted
Ray at 6:20 and 8:20.
Yeah.
Move MG to 7:10.
I agree.
Yeah.
Because
yep,
that was
totally
unbelievable.
Agree.
That was just
yep. Totally agree. Right.
Love it.
So as soon as he started talking, I was like, I was looking at the board going,
yeah. No, that was very good.
Do you reckon MG will be
he won't give a fuck.
Mate, he'll be fucking doing what we tell him.
Yeah.
Because,
Sorry, he's unavailable.
And you're like, oh, well.
Oh, well. No, that didn't go well.